In progress.
Thank you, AGP. So welcome, everyone. So I call this regular meeting of the Cambria Community Services District to order. And if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's see, we need a flag here. Osana or Leah or Haley or Leah, do we have any kind of a flag? We might not have. There we are. Okay, here we go. Okay, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So nice to see everyone today. We're having a very well-attended meeting. I see that we have a quorum, all five directors present and accounted for. In addition, we have GM Weigold staff and finance manager, administrative manager, Pam Duffield. We also have our consultant, Alex Handler. And we have both the board, the district clerk and the other district clerk. I'm a little confused on that one. Haley Dodson and Leah Riedel. And then we have Carlos Mendoza, our facilities manager, present. And present also, I see public safety, we have Stuart McDonald. So welcome to everybody. Before we commence, may we have a report from closed session, please, Mr. Carmel.
Thank you, President Howell. At the May 17th special meeting, the board had a conference with legal counsel regarding potential litigation involving the notice of violation issued by the Coastal Commission. The district intends to work cooperatively with the Coastal Commission staff to address and resolve the issues identified in the NOV. The district will be responding to the NOV and will post the response on the CCSD website. There's no action to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carmel. I don't really have anything to say in the president's report at the moment, except that I'm glad that we finally reached the what we hope to be the culmination of this 218 process, and then we can move forward. So we will just commence here with the agenda, starting with the agenda review, additions and deletions. So fellow board members, do you have anything you want to delete? Or do you have any future agenda items? Let's save till the end. But do you have anything you want to either change the order of events or delete an item? Okay, seeing none. Okay. We'll go ahead on down to board member communication. So fellow board members, you have anything you wish to communicate to the public or to each other? Briefly, please. Yeah. Yes, Director Harry.
Director Harry, oh, cool. you might know my sister, Deborah. Anyway, I just want to mention that I've been down here for a short while. And a number of people are coming in here for a reason. I know just about all of them, including a former board member who was board president. So it's just, so I just thought I'd come down here and be present. So for folks to see that there's a board member here that's observing the situation. So that's pretty much.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on down to public safety. And if we may have the Sheriff Department report, that would be, yes. There you are, Cat McDonald.
Good afternoon, members of the board, staff, and members of the public. Stuart McDonald from the Sheriff's Coast Station. Report for April 1st through April 30, 2022. In Cambria, we had one assault and battery call. It was a domestic violence related incident. There were 16 various disturbances throughout the community. We had three thefts reported. One of those was in the 2200 block of Main Street, one in the 2300 block of Village Lane, and one in the 1400 block of Norton Lane. There were two vandalisms, one in the 1800 block of Wales Road, and one in the 1100 block of Hartford Street. There was one mail theft, I'm unable to determine the location of that. It was a little hectic here this morning, and I wasn't able to suss that information out of the computer. But there was a mail theft reported in the month of April. There was a phone scam reported to us. That was the scam where someone calls either indicating that they are a relative or they're calling on behalf of a relative that was involved in a car accident, needs money. The intended victim was aware of such scams, and so there was no monetary loss on that, but that was reported to us. And I'd like to give you the content of the scams so that you can be sort of aware of the flavor of the different kinds of approaches that are made to people to get them to part with their money. There were six suspicious circumstances calls throughout the community. And then in terms of preventative patrol activity, during the month of April, we had 26 enforcement stops. That was a combination of vehicle stops, bicycle stops, and pedestrian stops, as well as 15 preventative patrol activities. Those are things like extra patrol, foot patrol, patrol checks, and those types of proactive efforts by the deputies that work in your community to seek out and make sure that there's security and safety in the community. With that, I'm open to any questions that the board or public might have.
Thank you. Thank you. So, fellow board members, do you have any questions for Cap McDonald? None? I seeing none. Okay. Let's go to the public for a moment. So folks out there, attendees, do you guys have any questions here? Give it just a quickie minute. Sometimes it takes a moment here. All right. I'm not seeing any hands coming up. I just have one. I have the general impression that it was a relatively quiet month. Is that true or is that just...
Yeah, it was a total of 56 calls for service in Cambria. That compared to 55 last year. So we did have the calm before the summer storm, as it were.
Okay.
And we are anticipating, obviously, that with a return of people to the tourist trades and such, that we'll probably see increasing crowds along the North Coast, and particularly in Cambria, which is good for the economy. But we'll double our efforts to be seen and help maintain and prevent any problems from occurring.
Oh, thank you. And you mentioned that you wanted to talk a little bit about the content of the scam, the phone scam. Did you want to do?
No, I had mentioned that it was the portrayal of a grandchild that needed financial assistance. So any time that I report on a phone scam, I'll sort of outline what the effort was so that people get an idea of the different kinds of avenues that people are trying to take to scam money from people.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's amazing the creativity sometimes that people will resort to. So thank you so much for your report and for you and your people for keeping us safe for another month. We look forward to hearing from you again. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. I will see you all next month.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay, Chief Hollingsworth, it's time for your report. So you have the floor.
Thank you, President Howell and board. Appreciate you letting me be here today. Reporting on the month of April, we had 81 emergency responses in the community, including 41 emergency medical aids where people would be transported for some kind of medical issue, and two fires, and then a related public service assist in assisting the elderly as they need to get in and out of their homes and things like that. We are, just as a reminder, we are actively managing four grants that we have in place right now, and we have two others pending. So we have staff diligently keeping their eye on all of that. There's a lot of paperwork and accounting that goes into that, so we're making sure that we're complying with all the necessary issues there. Wanted to give you a quick update on our staffing in that we had one of our safer firefighters take a full-time position up in the Santa Cruz area. And luckily, when we did the original testing, we created an eligibility list. So I'm able to slide one of our reserve paramedic firefighters into that position. So safer firefighter Ben Shank has left our department after 12 plus years of service. It was an amazing commitment on his part, and he did just a fantastic job for us. And we're going to be hiring a gentleman by the name of Will Stewart out of our reserve ranks. Lastly, just a reminder, everybody, we're actively in the middle of the fire hazard fee reduction program season, where everybody in the program has been noticed to cut and clear their parcels. If you have any questions about that, or you need additional information about abatement contractors or any other things like that, please don't hesitate to call the station. Get a lot of calls on that regularly, and we're happy to help the community as necessary. Other than that, I'm over to you for any questions.
Thank you, Chief Hollingsworth. So first from the board, do we have any questions or commentary from the board? All right. Seeing none, let's go to the public. Our friends in the public, yes. Okay, we'll start with Elizabeth Bettenhausen, please. Welcome, Dr. Bettenhausen.
Thank you very much. And congratulations to people working the unmute buttons and things on complicated system of life. I want to thank the fire department for coming and checking a smoke alarm and informing me that I was correct in my discernment of an insect. But I say that so that to alert the general public, you can be alarmed by your smoke alarm because of bugs that either have a negative attitude toward you or are just checking out the light beam inside the smoke alarm. The second thing, I want to thank the fire department for coming by and checking out the alarm in my the upper two chambers of my heart. This is called, in the general parlance of the day, keeping the acronym mysterious so that we don't all feel mortal. It's called AFib. And I want you all to think a bit about what these acronyms mean, because we're all mortal, and we can have as we age, the heart can wear out, just like the whole maintenance question within the CCSD of the infrastructure. I don't want to use plumbing, but why not? I think that we all need to pay more careful attention to the dimensions of what it means to age. And I'm so happy that my sister and a niece are here now. We're looking through all those documents just in case my heart decides to give up, which it has not done, I assure you, or commiserate with you, depending on your view of my presence. But I do also, so I'm not going to be at the rest of this meeting after my public comment coming up. Oh. And at my public comment, I'll say something else about the swimming pool. But I want to thank the fire department. The fire department is a bunch of marvelous people, just like the Cambria Healthcare District, just like CAL FIRE. And I tell you, if you have a little something happening to your body, you might discover that there are like 10 to 12 people standing in your bedroom all of a sudden. And I urge you always in such a situation to use your imagination as to what this might mean in the potentials that human beings might use in bedrooms. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Do we have any additional public comment? All right, seeing none, I don't see any. Thank you so much, Chief Hollingsworth.
Yes, sir.
I think we are ready now for the generalized public comment. So this will be public comment on items not on the agenda. So if you want to talk about the rate increase or anything like that, you need to wait for the hearing for that one. So this is for stuff that's not on the agenda. And as usual, I like to let folks know who's out there. So at the moment, we have a nice large audience. There's 20 people. I'll just go down the list, the ones that I can read that aren't code. So we have Mr. Hadian, Alan Dean, Ann Diamond, Christine Heinrichs, Crosby and Laura Swartz, Elizabeth Bettenhausen, Gordon Heinrichs, Hank Friederman, Hemant Patel, James Green, Jamie McLeod, Jenna Scolinos, Julie Amade, Kathy Tanner, Mary Humphrey, Michael Calderwood, Scott Anderson, and Shelley Holden. And there's two others with either just a first name or that I can't really tell who it is. So just so you all know who's there with you. So this is generalized public comment. I'll make one further call on that. I think everyone seems to be, oh, here, yes, Dr. Bettenhausen, please. So please bring Dr. Bettenhausen in. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, President Howell, and greetings to the whole board again. It's hard to listen to different bells on my phone. I might have muted myself or lowered my hand. I want to make a reference to two things. The swimming pool at Chamel Park will be open on Memorial Day weekend. They have repaired it in dramatic fashion. I've sent photos and commended the company that was doing the scraping. So I alert people, swimming pool is open on Memorial Day weekend. It's not yet clear how much later in the summer it will be because of staffing issues, but keep alert to the swimming pool. The second thing I want to say is I urge people in this community to think and talk with each other a lot about fireworks on the 4th of July. I know that the American Legion, and I commend them for their patriotism and their public service, but they want to have fireworks again. When this last happened in 2019, a lawn caught fire by, near Chamel Park, et cetera. I won't go into all the details of what happened, and it's still happening from that event. But think of it this way. Are there many ways to celebrate your patriotism in Cambria in different ways from fireworks? In the climate crisis, in the intense drought we're in, no matter what numbers you look at, it's dangerous to have fireworks when you have regular northwesterlies. Or southwesterlies, depending on the day. There's trees over there at Happy Hill too. Can't we do something? So I'm just talking to the community, but you as a board often have a great deal of power in talking to the community too, and exercise it, please, directors, as you contemplate how is it that we as a community can celebrate the 4th of July nobly and with the complexities of our history, not just saying we're all good, and not use fireworks. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Any additional public comment? Okay, Haley, do we have some general public comment? Or Leah, who should I be talking to here?
That should be me.
Okay.
We do not have any written comments, and we have no one here at the Vets Hall that wishes to speak.
Thank you, I forgot about that too. Thank you for remembering.
You're welcome.
Okay, in that case, let us move forward. We are now ready for the manager report. So, GM Weigel, you're first up, if you please.
Thank you, President Howell. I just wanted to call out a couple of items on my GM report. In the Navy, we have what we call a hail and farewell when we welcome new people and bid adieu to staff departing. So that from a hail standpoint, I wanted to welcome Leah Riedahl. And Leah is not only a Cambria native, but she's a prior CCSD employee on the staff, where she held the same role, in 2000 and 2001. So, she came in, I think she started bossing everybody around right away, and knowing her way around. No, I'm just kidding. She really fits in well with the group in the admin office. So we wanted to welcome Leah. And then from a farewell standpoint, we are bidding adieu to Fire Chief Hollingsworth, Sir William to some. He will be departing next month on June 23rd. So he'll have, I think, one more opportunity to give a report before the board. But our search is underway in that regard for his replacement. We are pressing on in that regard. I wanted to also bring to the board's attention that we received a Cal Recycle grant as part of the program to institute SB 1383, which is the organics recycling program in the state. Those eligible costs still have to be designated and with receipts, et cetera, for different items from administrative to training components of that program. But we're really happy that we were awarded that money. We were eligible originally for $20,000 even, and we got an extra $558 because apparently not everybody applied for the program, if you can believe that. So we actually got a little extra money there. And then I did want to advise the board that for our supplemental Prop 218 program, that 73 notices were mailed on May 5th. So that's in preparation for our Prop 218 hearing on June 23rd, which will be a special board meeting at 10 a.m. With that, pending any questions, I'll pass it over to Carlos Mendoza for the F&R report.
Okay, well, let's first start with some questions. I'll start with the board, and then we'll go to the public. So, board members, any questions for Jim Weigel at this point? Yes, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell. I'd like to just quickly get some clarification on the General Manager's report regarding the EV charging stations, where it states the Veterans Hall EV charging station grant is being amended due to increased costs from the original estimate, and staff invoiced the grantor this past week. So I'd like some clarification as to why there's been increased costs and who the grantor is.
Okay, Jim Weigel, please.
Sure. So as you know, we had a 60-40 split for a grant covering a percentage of the cost. So we, when we applied for the grant, I think in 2020, we had costs from that time. By the time we actually installed the EV station, it was over a year and a half later, I believe. And so obviously prices change, and this was an example of that. And so because the costs were higher, we called the Air Pollution Control District, which is the grantor in this case, and they agreed to pay us an additional amount to round out the full percentage of our costs that the grant would cover. So we sent them an additional invoice and we're awaiting that payment.
Ah, okay. Thank you, Jim Weigel. Okay, we're going to the public here. I see Crosby and Laura Swartz. So please bring Crosby and Laura in.
Okay, well, I'm here. This is the Laura part. Good morning, board and everybody. I have a question for Mr. Weigel. On this other Proposition 218 that you're doing for the large pipes commercial, okay, the thing is, I thought it was 80, but it's down to 73, so my numbers are a little bit confusing, but still sensitive to numbers. Okay, when these people are going to protest, if you get 37 of them that protest, does that mean that the large water users of Cambria don't have any increases for the next 5 years? I mean, and it's much easier for them to protest because they're all in town. It's not like the residential people that have to get all these out-of-towners. So, I mean, this could be a real concern in inequity for the residential to the commercials. I don't know if you thought about that and how fair that is to our town. Also, did you take off the 73 that are no longer included in the residential for the numbers that we need to pass the protest for the residential, because that would shift the numbers instead of the 1975, you know, we've only got what, 1902 or something and half of that. So just things to think about in the inequity, the large water users, which are the commercials, from what I understand, using more than a third of our water, and they potentially could protest them out from any increases for 5 years. Just saying. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Laura Swartz. Normally I wouldn't do a back and forth on this, but on one point I will, and then I think later maybe it would be appropriate for Mr. Handlers to answer this question. But as a reminder, the supplemental protest is only related to the fixed charge. The monthly charge that is not related to usage, only the fixed charge for meters 1 inch or greater. So it doesn't mean it's not all the water that the commercial users. It's the issue is only the fixed charge, But let's go forward. You can take everything, and then we can deal with the questions as a group. So I see Scott Anderson. So Mr. Anderson, please come in. Welcome.
Thank you. Am I coming through?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
So I'm going to ask the same question I've been asking for 3.5 years, and actually with a little more specificity this time. It's my understanding that you and Director Farmer were going to get together and ascertain the expenses to date for the WRF since inception. And I know Director Farmer has come up with some numbers, but I have yet to hear your conclusions, Director Howe, and I'm anxiously awaiting that and would love to know when you expect that to be concluded.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Anderson. Before we deal with the questions, let me see if there are anybody else out there have any other questions. Okay, since it's really more a question to me than to the GM, I can answer that, is we haven't forgotten that issue, and Director Farman and I have both our sets of figures, and we're waiting to confer together and then bring forth a report to the board. So you should be seeing that. I can't give you a specific time, but within the next few weeks, I would imagine, once we get through this process and we get a little more brain space to finish the job. But it is an answer that we would like to be able to give you. So if you'll thank you for your patience so far, there will be an answer forthcoming. Let's see. And as to the other part of Ms. Swartz's question, I wonder if it would be appropriate to bring Mr. Handler in briefly on that. Mr. Handler, are you available right now? He may be waiting until
yes.
Oh, good. Oh,
yes, I'm here just following in the background. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Would you mind answering Ms. Swartz's question a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, you know, under the Prop 218 process, the 73 commercial customers with larger meters, the intent is to treat them the same as everyone else with the same rate increases. And your current Prop 218 process has the same rate increases for those customers for the sewer rates for the next 3 years, for the water quantity charges that everyone pays for water use for the next 3 years, same percentage increases, and for next year for the fixed meter charges too. The mistake was the future 2 years in July 23 and 24, the fixed charges for those customers. So the intent, everyone faces the same overall increases, and they're facing, even in this Prop 218 process, almost all the same rate increases, except for the fixed charges in the outer years.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Handlers. Okay, any additional public questions there? All right, then I think we're ready for the next report. I believe that is Mr. Mendoza, is that correct? Yes. Yes, Mr. Mendoza, the floor is yours.
Thank you, President Howell and board members. Appreciate the time to provide a report on the Facilities and Resources Department for the month of April. My report is included in the general manager's report. I believe it starts on page 9, and I'll be brief. I'll just cover just a couple of highlights of what we're working on. This time of the year, it's probably the busiest time of the year for us since we're working on fire breaks, weed abatement, both on the Piscolini Ranch, open space properties, and other facilities that we maintain. So I show some of those some of that work in progress for fire breaks on the Piscolini Ranch. The other big item that we have been tackling last month is encampment cleanup and encampment issues on our properties. On April 19th, we conducted a encampment cleanup on the Pocket Park on Center Street. That turned out to be quite the cleanup. We found a lot of items and trash that was being stored on the back of the property. And that turned out to be about 16 yards of trash that was hauled away, along with about 6 yards of personal belongings that were stored at our facility. The individual that was living there has come by and picked up their belongings already from our facility. And then the other encampment issue that we're working on currently is many people are aware, if you drove by the highway in the last year or so, you probably noticed a large encampment along the highway there. On April 16th, Caltrans, CHP, and a contractor cleaned up those encampments. And I show pictures on my report of the before and after of those encampments. I have been in contact with Caltrans for a while now on those encampments, just letting them know the size, where they were, how many people. So they advised me of the timeline for that cleanup, and we sort of knew that we were going to have to step up our inspections on our facilities, especially the Fiscalini Ranch, since we were kind of worried that some individuals might want to move on to our properties. And so that's exactly what happened. We conducted some inspections and found multiple encampments on the Fiscalini Ranch. We're estimating about 5 to 10 individuals currently living on the Fiscalini Ranch and CCSD owned properties. We have made contact with all the individuals there that are living. We posted eviction notices today and are working with the sheriff and a contractor. And we're scheduled to do a cleanup of those encampments next week, May 23rd. I'll leave it at that. I'll just throw one other item. I think at the last board meeting, President Howell was asking about volunteering for the Fiscalini Ranch and how somebody could get that information. So we're always welcoming volunteers. There's many opportunities for volunteers on the Fiscalini Ranch, whether it's wheat pulling or trail maintenance or other things. If somebody wants to volunteer, they can email volunteer@ffrpcambria.org, or they can call 927-2856, and they can get all that info from those two items. I'll leave it at that, and I'm happy to answer any questions on my report.
Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. Let us go to the board first. We have some observations or questions from the board. Okay, I just have a brief one. It's always this concern with the homeless encampments, issues of fire and sanitation. What's your impression regarding the fire question? Are we seeing a lot, any kind of open hearths or other situations that maybe need to be looked at more deeply?
Well, as far as the homeless encampments, I haven't really run into any encampment that doesn't have some sort of heating element to it, whether it's for warmth or for cooking. Campfire is the current encampments that we have on the Fiscalini Ranch. I have evidence of campfires, and I've spoken to the fire department. They have responded to those encampments multiple times, as people have reported seeing smoke there. So, you know, especially this time of the year, as things are drying up, it's a huge concern, you know, fire risk.
Yeah, I guess my concern there is, or my presumption is that while you have to observe certain protocols in terms of evicting people, in terms of violations of a fire code, or as they say, open burning, that's something that can be immediately addressed. Is that true?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so if somebody sees something like that, you know, they can immediately call the fire department, call 911, call the sheriff department, and they can address that issue right away. As far as the eviction process, you're correct. That takes a process, and so that's where we step in and do that ourselves.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, it's the fire thing that keeps me awake at night, so thank you. Let us go to the public, see if they have any observations or questions for you. Folks out there, Mr. Mendoza, do you have any comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, I'll call for any kind of written public comment after we finish all the reports, Haley. So let's move on then to the finance manager's report. Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. Amy Stafield, you have the floor.
Good afternoon, President Howell, members of the board. So this is the finance manager's report for the month of April 2022. There's two items I would like to add to the report that's not on here, as it just has kind of happened this week. One is related to page 28. I've been carrying a note on this report for several months now in regards to the January 2021 storms that occurred here in town. Right. So just this week, we were able to complete 5 of the 21 projects that we submitted to Cal OES for reimbursement relief. They have completed their analysis on our costs, and they are forwarding those up through the upper parts of Cal OES to try and get approval for those. So today they've approved proceeding with reimbursement for replacing the entrance gates that were damaged at the rodeo grounds facility, the repairs to the Santa Rosa Creek Trail that facilities and resources staff did in-house, and also the other damages that happened on the rodeo grounds, which was the significant damage to the facilities and resource building, the storage shed, and the fence. So all of those have kind of, they get approved by the rep that were assigned from Cal OES, and they gather all the paperwork, and then that gets submitted to their superiors. And then once that gets approved, or they have any questions we can answer, once that happens, then it'll forward to finance. And then we might start to see some reimbursements coming our way. So it's kind of an update to having no information on this topic for so many months. So things are progressing. And then another item that's recent is the state of California, the Department of the Community Services and Development reached out to community services districts in regards to a low-income household water assistance program that the state is developing. So this is to help low-income ratepayers with their water and wastewater bills. Our role in this whole process is to receive the payments. We have to sign up for a direct payment agreement. We receive the funds up to $2,000 per household if they can prove that they qualify for this program and they can prove they're in arrearages status or past due status. That's nothing that the CCSD has to qualify the resident for. It's totally done through the state and their consultant. Mm-hmm. We're just the beneficiary of the funds. So we would be responsible to receive those funds per the account that is listed for, and then report out to the state how those funds were, you know, applied to the count. So there's still information that's forthcoming. The state thinks that sometime the middle of June, they will have all of their social media campaign developed, and they'll be rolling that out to the public. So at the point in time when we get that information, we'll work to get a page on our website so that people can get that link, you know, get involved in the program and see if they qualify for the program. And hopefully that'll help people that are really struggling, you know, through all this COVID time. So anyways, that's all I have to report. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Duffield. Questions from the board? Okay, seeing none at the moment. So just to kind of reiterate, the way I'm understanding it is that these folks that might qualify, this will be something they will get information at around mid-June. It'll become available on our website as to how and how they should contact and who they should contact and the kind of information that they'll need to provide. Would that be a true statement of what you're just kind of summing up what you just said?
Yes, that's correct. The state of California has hired a consultant to manage this process. So they're still in the process of developing the contacts that, you know, people need to get in touch with to determine eligibility. So it's still kind of happening as we speak. I don't have a huge amount of details on the consumer side. We have more details on, you know, the direct payee side of all of us receiving funds. They've set up that side of the program a little bit more than they have on, you know, the process for, you know, the residents to call and to apply.
Okay, excellent. I just mainly trying to figure out if there's anything that the current board ad hoc needs to do. It's actually Director Farmer and me, but we haven't done any work on this for a couple of years. So it sounds
it's not a discount that the CCSD will be offering. It's completely something that happens outside of our agency, and it's a benefit to our customers.
Good. Thank you. Just wanted to get crystal clear on that. Just make sure there's nothing that you're waiting on us for.
No. It's completely in the hands of the state. We're just going to benefit by helping our customers get out of a past due status.
Excellent. Good news. Okay, well, that was the board question. Do we have any questions from the public? Again, I'm not seeing any. So thank you. Thank you, Ms. Duffield. Thank you very much. Let's see. It is our utilities report. Yes, Mr. D'Anzo, we'll go with the report first and then follow with some comment and questions as needed.
Okay, thank you, President Howell. Again, I'm Ray D'Anzo, utilities manager, and pleased to present the utilities report for activities that took place in the month of April. First off, just moving forward through the report, the wastewater treatment plant, I'm pleased to report that we were able to replace that new control circuit board for the screw press polymer control, so that's the screw press with the polymer control is now back in service. Before, our guys needed to operate it manually, but because that controller was fixed, it's now able to dose in properly and automatically. The continuing efforts that took place in April, which actually started wrapping up towards the end of April, but it's wrapping up now, is the utility raising project with staff working with Cal Portland on that project. Our staff from the wastewater department has taken the opportunity to replace a lot of these manholes with some watertight manholes. And that's really the point of that picture in figure B, is that these manholes got replaced. That was allowing water to leak in, but now we were able to replace it with some watertight lids. Cool. Also with leading into the water department, the water utilities have also been raised as a result of this project. And some examples there of some good coordination with Cal Portland with the work that's going on. Also wanted to let you know for the water system is that we've also resumed hydrant testing and flushing exercises in the month of April. Figure B also shows there on page 30 that we've also begun exercising valves and doing some preventive maintenance. Something of note is that we did some maintenance on some faulty service lines. We replaced four of them, replacing it from the meter all the way to the main. I alluded to this last month, where it's good practice to do that whenever there's a service that's being done, that oftentimes what has been done in the past is a lot of clamps were put on these service lines. That you know, it's a quick fix and sometimes it's needed, but there comes to a point in time where it does need to be replaced from the meter to the valve. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about these replacements. Also want to, you know, going back to the whole valve exercising, before I talk about that, I'll talk about this in figure C, where our staff discovered this corroded effluent line. So so typically we do our sampling that we submit to our lab, you know, and eventually submit a report to our regional board. This particular effluent line, the staff found that it was starting to corrode, as you can see there. And the corrosive nature of just environment that we're in, and this is over in the San Simeon well field, the corrosive environment and couple that with the corrosive nature of disinfectants. So, you know, that caused this corrosion to happen. And this leads me to the idea that sometimes when we do these preventive maintenance, we do these inspections, you know, even back with the flushing and with the valve exercising. I'll talk about this in next month's report, where there was that valve break on Marlboro and Kerwin. That there comes a time when preventive maintenance, we cross over from that into projects. And an example of what happened with the effluent line is these things do need to be addressed right away, but sometimes it doesn't fall into a CIP category, but it still needs to be addressed. So that's an example of that. And also another fun project that was done, it's shown here in figure D in your packet, was, and this is something we bring this up because this is something that we see on a somewhat regular basis, where there's dissimilar metals. There was a, you know, we have brass fittings and then we have galvanized couplings or fittings that get kind of connected together and it ends up corroding. It happens, but over time it creates a weakness in the connection points, which is what's shown here in the figure D. So, the left is what happened before, and you can see like these signs of corrosion. I kind of show it with that yellow arrow. And then the point of failure is that orange line there, as you can see. And then the picture on the right shows what it looks like when it's done. Notice that all the fittings are consistent. They're all brass fittings. You know, we're not mixing them with galvanized. So kudos to our water team for addressing these issues. Page 31 of the packet just shows that our water supply status. San Simeon Creek levels are trending below average, but we are finding that it is tracking similarly with 2021. And then also there's a list of activities there from the water department from that table. Something new that I'm including in the report now is this table I titled under engineering, because our And I acknowledge this, you know, there's we do a lot of things and I don't talk about it all the time, but people are curious about it. That's why I decided, you know, just putting it in a table so that everyone can look at it. And if you have questions about it, we can answer it. Because, you know, these are the projects that we're doing that are pending. Some of them are have wrapped up, but, you know, but during the time of this writing, there was little bits and pieces there that needed to be tidied up a little bit. These are some projects that we're doing in addition to, you know, our regular day-to-day operational support that we do. So the engineering, our engineering staff, you know, is myself and Melissa and Megan. So these are the things that we're working on together. Also, I wanted to, you know, in leading up to that, the conservation and permits section, our diversion for April for the month of April was 5.94 acre feet lower than it was last year. So that's a good thing. So our demand is still is still considerably less than what it was last year. I also show there the current status of our water shortage indicator. Next month, in June 9th, to be specific, we will be presenting a more detailed analysis of this and the stage recommendation that I will be recommending. I'll just leave it at that. So we'll talk about that next month. But at the time being, this is the discussion there is shown in your staff report. Also, want to make note. We are in the view of water conservation. We are offering the water use efficiency walkthroughs. Please take advantage of this as a message to the community. We have on our staff, Melissa Bland is our qualified water efficient landscaper. So water efficient landscaper certified person. So she's able to assist in determining water efficient irrigation and schedule depending on the type of landscaping installed at your home. Please take advantage of that because both Melissa and Megan are very, very well adept in water conservation and can help guide if you're wanting to save more water or looking for ways, or if you're already saving a lot of water, if you want to improve, they're definitely available for that appointment. And then the last is just a list of the permit counter activities for activities that happened during the month of April. If you have any questions about that, I'm also available to answer those questions. The actual charts I didn't print out in this packet, but they are available on the website. I feel like they're a lot easier to see on the website, but you know, I didn't print it out this time. But that's my report, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. D'Enzo. Let us start with Director Gray.
Yeah, thank you, President Howell, and thank you, Mr. D'Enzo, for that great report. I like the table on the progress report table. It's a very nice, one stop place to see all the various ongoing things and how they're, where they are in the course of things. I had a question on the table or the chart in the conservation and permits section on the water and the stages basically and how they're described. I might have missed this before, but I'm asking about the math on the reductions and how it's described in the text. And you say that, and this, I think this is what we've already understood, that a stage two water water designation or shortage watch has a goal of 20% reduction below normal consumption. But then in the chart of the stages, in the second column, you have percent of average. Stage two runs between 100% and 91%, which would imply that the maximum target is 10% reduction. And then all the way down, stage three, for instance, is down to 81%, stage four to 71%. I'd always thought the stage four was 40%, stage three was 30%. So I'm confused by the difference that seems to me there.
Okay, well, that's a great question, and I'm glad I'm able to clarify this. So that table there is, It's a percent of average for the metrics that we're comparing for that's month specific. So for example, 100% would be for SR4 for Santa Rosa for the water level of 53.2 is considered 100% compared to April, or in this case, compared to May of previous years. On average May months. Okay. That's the metric that, 91% is, 48.84 48.25 is, you know, that's if it's that low, if it's that much lower compared with May of other months. Mm-hmm. So that's the actual metric. The actual reduction in water conservation is not shown in this chart.
Okay.
So these are the metrics based on averages, mm-hmm. of the metrics, but we don't show the reduction in demand as an action. These are metrics to point us to what the actual reduction in demand should be in the water shortage indicator. So I grant you that it is an incomplete chart where we show metrics based on supply, but we don't show the demand portion of it.
Right. I understand that. Yeah, that clears it up for me. Thank you.
Great. Yes, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell. First, I have a couple of items, but I just want to commend the field staff in both water and wastewater, having to deal with a number of unexpected problems in the last couple of weeks or so. We've got a great staff out there, and so I just want to acknowledge their work. With regard to the engineering projects on page 32, the last one in the column there, pilot project for zero liquid discharge for brine and WRF. So I know this is a pilot project. Can we get any kind of idea as to how the district is hoping to be involved there? Is there some kind of time frame with regard to moving further into exploring this particular possibility?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I can answer that. Well, we're still awaiting word from the National Alliance for Water Innovation to see whether the project was approved for the grant. So until we get word from them, I anticipated we were going to get word sometime in the summer. But I wasn't given an exact date of when that was going to happen. So I anticipate that once all the contracts and, you know, once approvals and scope of work is defined, and once the project is awarded, these will go before the board, because we would still need board approval to formally move forward with these agreements. Although, you know, they've assured us there would be no cost to the district.
Thank you, Mr. D'Anzo. Ed?
Thank you, President Howell. Just out of curiosity, Ray, has this particular process been proven so far to actually work? Can you give us any particulars on that?
So my understanding is that there's versions of this project that is being done in Ventura. But it's not exactly the same project as what we're proposing here. And it's also my understanding is that a lot of this technology has been tested in a lab, but it's not been tested in an industrial format. And that's why this would be a really excellent pilot project to do, and to actually like test it in a municipal industrial project like ours. So, yeah, it's a lot of it is, you know, they were able to verify good results in the lab and in small case studies, but this will help us, you know, move this forward if it does work in a municipal context.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So one more item, Ray. And I know that usually in utilities report, you have the San Simeon roll levels for the last 10 years, that colored graph and everything. And I notice it isn't included this time. So I just wanted to bring up the fact, because I'm looking at it on my screen right now, that this particular year, since March of 2013, the well level right now in San Simeon is the lowest that it's been in the past 10 years. I don't necessarily want to create any cause for alarm, but then again, considering how difficult things were earlier, let's say in the last decade, 2013, 2014, and the fact that the well level is already lower than that right now, I feel like I just wanted to alert the people in the audience that are viewing this meeting right now and folks that might view it later to go to the district website and take a look at this particular chart. And that's basically what I wanted to say, Ray, because to me, the well-level situation in San Simeon is, I think, cause for concern, even maybe a little bit alarming. We'd like not to think that, but that's my take on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. I'll just piggyback one thing. As I love the table, your engineering table. So please keep that one up. It provided information that people are always asking about. So it's very good. You're right on. So thank you so much, Mr. D'Enzo. I think, we need to take public comment on this. So folks out there, there's 23 of you now. Do you have any commentary, questions, comments? Okay, seeing none. Haley, do we have any kind of commentary on the manager's reports?
We have no written public comment, and we have no one at the Vets Hall that wishes to speak.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, let us then move on to the consent agenda. So is there anyone, let's see, I think first, let me call public comment on this first. So folks out there, this is your chance to comment on the consent agenda. I'll give you just a minute to think about that. And while we wait, is there any written public comment on the consent agenda?
There is no written public comment or anyone that wishes to speak at the Vets Hall.
Okay, folks, last call for public comment on the consent agenda. Okay, seeing none, let's go back to the board. Do any board members wish to pull anything for actual vote? Okay, seeing none, do we have anyone wish to just register a comment? Ah, yes, Director Steidel. No? Okay. Sorry. Yeah, okay. So your hand is still up, Director Steidel, and I didn't hear you. Okay, we're good.
I said no. Sorry, I was going to make the motion.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, one moment, then I'll keep you in mind. So so if no director wishes to make any comment on any of the consent items, does any director wish to just simply register a negative vote on any consent item? Okay, seeing none. Okay, Director Steidel, we're ready for your motion.
Thank you, President Howell. I'd like to move approval of the consent agenda item 6A through F inclusive.
Second. Okay, seconded by Director Gray and also then thirded by Director Dean. So I think since this is consent, we're not really going to debate it. So I think it's time for the roll call. So Haley, would you be so good?
Yes. Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director, let's see, where are we at? Director or Vice President Dean, sorry.
Aye.
President Howe.
Aye. Okay, motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Thank you, everybody. And at this point, we are ready to open the public hearing. I'd like to beg your indulgence for 3 minutes. I need to take a short break, and I'd rather do it now than in the middle of the hearing. So with you, do I have any objection to, like, well, let's say 5 minutes. Is that all right with everybody? Okay. Okay, we'll be in recess for 5 minutes, coming back at 2:16. This is the moment that we've all been waiting for. So this is item 7A, which is the public hearing regarding the 218 protest of the proposed rate increases. So, GM Weigold, would you please present this item?
Yes, President Howell. Agenda item 7A is a public hearing in accordance with the requirements of Proposition 218 on the proposed increases to water and sewer rates and future annual inflationary rate adjustments to water, water reclamation facility, and sewer, and consideration of adoption of Resolution 32-2022 establishing said rates. It is recommended that the board conduct a public hearing on the proposed increases in water and sewer rates and annual future inflationary rate adjustments to water, water reclamation facility, and sewer. The procedure is listed in the staff report, we have our financial advisor for the Prop 218, Alex Sandlers from Bartlewell, standing by for any questions.
Excellent. Thank you, GMY Gold. And before we begin, then, I'll just to remind everyone of the process. So after Mr. Handler's report, then we will open the public hearing and we will be taking public comment. And meanwhile, of course, receiving any protests that are still outstanding. Once the public comment period is finished and the protests have been received, we will close the public hearing, at which point the tabulation will commence. Depending on the number of protests that we have, we may simply take a short pause for an initial tabulation at that point. So, Mr. Handlers, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm just going to give a very brief summary. You've heard my explanations of everything before, but basically, you know, no one likes rate increases. I understand that, but they underlie the financial stewardship of your water and sewer utilities. The rates are the main source of revenue to fund those utilities. And you, like every other agency out there, faces ongoing escalations of operating costs, electricity, you name it, as well as having a lot of capital needs. You've got some aging facilities, you're in a coastal environment, you need to keep these facilities in good working condition. And in particular, you're facing $12 million of the critical improvements to your wastewater treatment plant and your lift stations. And that amount's been honed down, I think, from the original analysis. So what's being proposed is, you know, gradual increases over the next few years, 6% annual water rate increases, 7.5% annual sewer rate increases, and no increases are being proposed to your water reclamation facility rates. The intent was that everyone's facing the same percentage increases in future years. And just referencing the prior comment that was made earlier that I addressed, this includes for all customers, residential, commercial, you name it, everyone is supposed to face the same increases. And in this Prop 218, they do for all the water quantity charges, the fixed charges, for there's a small number of customers, again, 71, that this is for the outer future years, there's going to have to be a correction for theirs, but they're facing the same rate increases as everyone else on the water quantity charges and the sewer rates and the fixed charges for next year. So that'll be addressed at a future board meeting, but you do need rate increases. It's just a part of the business. You need to keep your rates in line with the cost of service. And your rates right now are, you know, in the middle of the pack compared to other coastal agencies. You're higher than some, but you're a lot less than others. But you've got to maintain the financial stewardship. So that's what I preach, long-term financial stewardship, and, you know, try to get there as gradual steps. So I'll just leave it at that and turn it back over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Handlers. So at this point, I'm opening the public hearing regarding our proposal to increase water and sewer rates over the next several years, as announced in the announcement that went out. When did it go out? At any rate, as previously announced. So this is the time now for public comment. And so, and it can be before, for or against. So let us just commence. And I'm welcome to everybody here. We're now at 19 folks out there. So we'll start with Crosby and Laura Swartz, followed by Christine Heinrichs.
Good afternoon, President Howell and members of the board. I was looking over the agenda package this morning, particularly with respect to the resolution that is before you today. And I noticed there's some problems with what was published in the agenda package. A minor problem in the resolution itself, on page 2 of the resolution, it's labeled Resolution 27-2018. Obviously a typo. The major problem, though, is that Exhibit A that's in the agenda package does not have the current rate increase proposals or the current dates for the rate increase proposals. It appears to be left over from 2018 and has nothing to do with what's before you today. So I would recommend that you adjourn this item to a future date until you can send out a corrected agenda package. I don't think you should be approving anything that has totally incorrect information in it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Swartz. Let's go ahead and take Christine Heinrichs, and then I have a question for Mr. Carmel. Christine. Welcome, Christine.
Yes, hello, thank you. I oppose the rate increases because the money is not being wisely spent. The board and staff serve those who want Cambria to grow, disregarding the real and documented limits on Cambria's water. Cambria is damaging the coastal resources it is responsible for protecting by pumping water to serve even the current residents. The Emergency Water Supply Project, later called the Sustainable Water Facility, sometimes called the Adaptive Water Treatment Plant, now officially the Water Reclamation Facility. See how complicated and confusing you've made this? Probably cost over $20 million, but the district didn't keep track of costs. For the most expensive project Cambria has ever taken on, the district still isn't able to account for how the money was spent, and this just came up earlier in the meeting. That further distracts from the project's other problems, that it was built in an environmentally sensitive habitat area, hurting the already threatened local wildlife. This isn't trivial. Cambria's lovely surroundings, the reason we all want to live here, are deteriorating. Wildlife and environment are legally protected, so the damage triggers legal consequences, including mitigation. One part of that is the build-out reduction plan, costs for which will run into millions, also as yet uncalculated. The district is still, 8 years after the project was built, unable to complete the required application for a coastal development permit. Prospects for completing even this application to the county are not good. In April, the board approved hiring another biologist to do the research and write the required reports, which were not completed by the previous biologist over 5 years of work. The project continues to cost around $1 million a year. The district decided to ignore necessary water and wastewater maintenance in favor of spending money on the EWS and continues to spend on it. Although no increases are proposed for the EWS, because of the way the district keeps the books, money collected for water can be transferred to the EWS. The district's failure to protect its coastal resources has invited the Coastal Commission's notice of violation, but it's not posted on the district's website, which directly addresses mismanagement of natural resources. The board has thus far failed to direct staff to resolve the violations by complying with the moratorium and not issuing will serve letters. Will serve letters lead to permits approved by the district and rubber stamped by the county. They then go to the Coastal Commission, which denies them. That's an expensive process, and the lack of commitment to protecting resources invites other lawsuits. By continuing to issue will serve letters, utilities manager Ray D'Enzo issued another in April, as shown in his report. The district indicates that it does have adequate water for new users. Those who want to build are encouraged, and when their plans don't work out, take to the courts and drag the district in. It's more money spent without any benefit to the water and wastewater infrastructure. The district's problems aren't due to not enough money. It's the way you spend it. And that's why I oppose the rate increases. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Do we have any additional public comment? All right, I'm not seeing anybody online here. Haley, do we have any written public comment or anybody in the Vets Hall?
We do not have any written public comment, and no one wishes to speak at the Vets Hall.
Okay, thank you, Haley. All right. I think we need to respond to Mr. Swartz's observation. I do know that that agenda item has been corrected. So, Mr. Carmel, does this raise any issues? Or are we still clean, good to go forward?
President Howell, as you know, a revised resolution with the correct exhibit has been posted on the website, made available to the board. It's going to be screen shared prior to taking action, so there's no confusion. So there's no problem moving forward.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. All right. This is the last call for public comment, folks. This is your last chance to speak in on this. Going once, going twice. Seeing no further public comment, I hereby close this public hearing. And we will now commence with the, before we start the tabulation, GM Weigel, would you please introduce our tabulators?
Stand by one second, President Hill.
No problem. Sorry.
Okay, thank you, President Hill. We're just confirming the correct pronunciation of our outside observer, who is Erica Interlead from Pismo Beach as the clerk there. And we also have Melissa Bland from our utilities department assisting as well.
Thank you, GM Weigel. So at this point, let us commence with the tabulation. And so what we'll do is we will, board members, will be a short recess while the tabulation, the initial tabulation starts. And then, so folks, you can begin, and we will we'll kind of put off. Oh yeah, go ahead, GM Weigel. Do you have something to offer there?
I'm not sure we need a recess. Okay. Yes, President Howell, a recess would be in order.
Okay, we'll do. We'll recess until such time as the tabulators inform us that the count is complete. And at that point, we can, depending on the nature of what those numbers are, we can decide to go forward or whatever else our next action is. Yeah, go ahead, GM Weigel.
Yes, President Howell, if we could recess for 5 minutes, that would be plenty of time.
Five. Okay, everybody, 5 minutes. Feel free to stay on and watch the counting if you wish, or go run around the block or something. But anyway, we'll see y'all back in 5 minutes. That'll be 2:35. I think I'll hang here and watch.
President Howell, their screen actually appears to be frozen on my laptop.
Same with mine as well. It's definitely frozen because they've been standing like that for the last 10, 15 minutes.
We're investigating, President Howell.
Okay, good. Thank you. There we go. Here, we've got them finally. Okay.
Laptop I used was working the entire time up until the count, so I'm using my personal laptop here. So hopefully that'll work.
Thank you, Haley.
Okay, so they're going to start the count now.
Oh, great. Excellent, as we watch. Okay, thank you very much. Jim Margold, perhaps you could just for the people's benefit kind of give us a little bit of a description of the process. It looks like they're grouping things into packets and then they'll summarize. Maybe you give us kind of a little blow by blow here. Well, you're muted. You're muted, John.
There sure, I'll do my best. I'm not a live sportscaster. They're counting in groups of 100, which they did originally. So they're double checking that count and each double checking each other. So they're doing that. We did have a couple of protest forms that were dropped off at admin after the meeting started. Those individuals refused to deliver it to the vets hall. So we took those and those individual protest forms were photographed and texted to me, which I passed on to the women with the count. So those are taking those into account that were dropped off at admin after the meeting started.
Well, thank you. That was going the extra mile on that. Thank you, John.
And I should add that up to the start of the hearing only.
Up to the start. That's good. Yes.
So, President Howell?
Yes, Director Farmer.
Yeah, I'm going to vacate the premises down here at the Vets Hall, and I should be home within the next 10 minutes. And if you need to move forward with the next agenda item, just go ahead and do that, and I'll join you as quickly as possible, okay?
Okay, thank you, Director Farmer. We'll see you back here as soon as you can get back.
All right, thank you.
And as an update, President Howell, we're at 400 is the count so far. President Howell, it should be done momentarily here.
Oh, thank you.
And our observer will be given a report here right now.
Excellent. Thank you, GM Weigold. Yes. Well, Ms. Innerleaf, thank you so much for your work. So yeah, what do we have?
Good afternoon, President Howell. Thank you very much for having me today. My name is Erica Innerleaf. I'm the city clerk of the city of Pismo Beach, and I'm honored to be here today. The prima facie count conducted by myself and Ms. Bland indicates initially that we have received 500 writings that are apparent protests. Considering that the lowest threshold requiring full validation would be 1,979 parcels, my recommendation to the board at this time would be to consider all of the apparent protests valid, however insufficient.
Thank you, Ms. Inderlead. Thank you so much. And I think we will take that recommendation. I don't know that we need board action on that, or do we? Do we need board action, Mr. Carmel?
No, we don't. The next step would be consideration of the resolution.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service, Ms. Innerlead, and putting up with all that. Fingers must be a little tired. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Jim Weigold, would I be correct to say that we retain these for a certain period of time, the protest form?
Yes. Yes, President Howell, these are considered public records, and they will be retained.
In case anybody had any questions about that. Basically the 218 protest fails the majority. So we are now ready for our resolution to adopt the rate increases. So I think we need to share the screen on this because of the change to the agenda. So Haley, I think that would be, yeah, thank you. Okay. Let's see, let's take a moment so everyone can see that. Not quite sure how to handle this part of the discussion. We want to be sure that everyone, the directors and the public, can see that. So we are all operating from the same assumptions. Mm-hmm. So I think at this point, then what we need is someone to move adoption of Resolution 32-2022. And you can just use the title of the resolution, if anyone would care to do that, because that didn't change. It's just the exhibit. Yes, Director Gray.
I so move.
Okay. It's been moved. Oh, is there a second? Yes, Director Dean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we adopt Resolution 32-2022, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Cambria Community Services District, adopting water and sewer rates effective July 1st, 2022, and future annual inflationary rate adjustments. Mm-hmm. We're now open for, let me open for public comment as we always do, and then following that by board debate on the motion and then a vote. So folks in the public, do you wish to weigh in on this? Okay, I do see. Yes, Mr. Calderwood, please. Welcome, Mr. Calderwood.
There it is. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, just a quick question. Are you going to wait for Director Farmer to return before taking this vote so that we can have it memorialized with the input from all the directors, or are you going to just go ahead without him? That was my comment slash question.
Thank you. It would be nice to have his vote on this. We could table this and move on until he returns. I'm a little bit in a little flummox there. Thank you for that, Mr. Calderwood. It didn't really occur to me. Well, let's see if we have any debate. Let's just see how far. Does any of the board have any other issues or anything you wish to raise regarding this? Okay. I'm going to ask Mr. Carmel, as our parliamentarian, if it would be in order to table this until we finish the next item and then come back?
That would be appropriate.
Okay. Director Gray, is that a...
That's fine. I just had a question, actually. I noticed a typo in the recital. I noticed there's a... The rate increases are necessary because the CCC is water, and there's common, then a capital F, and sewer utilities. Probably should note that should be that the extraneous comma and the F should be deleted.
Where is that now?
Well, I have it in the resolution, the text of the resolution I have that's in the, and it may not be, did that get corrected in the revised version? Because I'm going from the printed version. It's the text of it's the third of the recitals.
Third down. Oh, third, okay. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pure typo. It's just a pure typo. There's no, it's not substantive or anything. And, I was also.
Oh, the F is, it shouldn't be there, right? That's just
right. That's just something that got left in.
Okay. Let's amend it. If no one objects to that amendment, is deleting the extraneous F from the third paragraph of the recitals. Anything else? As long as we're.
Also, is it necessary? We have the exhibits for the rate charts. Is it necessary to have an attachment for the inflation adjustment too? We have to have that. Should we have something added for that? That's a question for Tim more than anybody else.
Right. As that should be part of the that display. Let's see.
If you show that, the one you showed on the screen has the the rates themselves for the next 3 years.
But not the inflation adjustment.
I don't think so, unless there's something. But I don't know if there's is there a need for that.
Mr.
Kyle, there is. So the revised exhibit. Where's Mr. Handler?
There he is.
The revised exhibits that you furnished, do they include it? I don't have them.
Oh, that was just, it's normally just the language that was in the Prop 218 notice that can be added in. Well, we don't know what the future.
Oh,
right, but it still needs to be included.
There's a formula there.
That's part of the approval. Is it in there? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
It's not on the specific rate tables. I mean, but it's on. It's in the 218 notice.
It needs to be in the resolution
formula. So it should be in the somewhere in the resolution how that formula works.
Well, we better figure that out, and then we can amend it. This is our chance. Otherwise, we got to come back and do this again. So,
Alex, can you add that to the exhibit, please?
Yeah.
While we're waiting for the other director, sure. I'll add that. Maybe on a separate page. Can I just add the text on a separate page?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
You bet.
That's a good reason to table it for now and come back to it.
Yeah. So let's give Mr. Handler a chance
in a couple of minutes. Yes, thank you.
Thank you for noticing that, Director Gray.
Thank you.
Director Gray, yeah, Haley.
I do have a member of the public that wishes to speak that's here in person at the Vets Hall whenever you're ready for public comment.
Well, we might as well take it now while we're kind of waiting. Let's go ahead and take it now.
Okay. Laurel Stewart is here and would like to speak.
Okay. Welcome, Laurel. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. I don't want to add to staff's workload, but I would like to see for public consumption a tabulation of the exact nature of the protests. Some of them won't be blanket. Some of them will be concerned with the inflationary aspect and perhaps not with the water and sewer rate increases. So perhaps in the next minutes, or in the next meeting, a report could be given as to how those break out.
So to the short term is that you'd like a breakdown of the how the protests fell out.
Sure, how the boxes were checked. Some of them would not be blanket. They wouldn't cover a protest of water, sewer, and inflationary rates. They might just be discretionary. And I'd like to know how that breaks down. Okay. In the public vote. Well, it's not a vote. In the public protest.
Okay, well, that's the worthy question, and we'll work with Jim Weigold on that, see if we can.
Okay, thanks, Don.
Thanks, Stuart. I see a few others out here in the public online here as also while we're waiting. We may as well, let's go ahead and take them. And it'll be, okay, we got Crosby, yeah. Crosby and Laura, yeah.
Good afternoon, President Howell and members of the board. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go back.
Oops. Somehow you became muted for a second here. Let's try that again.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to go back to that third item of the recitals. I saw that typographical error in there before, and I assumed that it meant WRF, which would be the water reclamation facility, since you are raising rates on the water reclamation facility, particularly in the fourth and fifth years. So I think you should reconsider restoring the WRF into that recital. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that observation. Carmel, I think that's probably a good idea because the inflationary increase does include the WRF.
If you look at the next recital, it deals with the inflationary adjustment and includes it.
Okay.
Necessary.
Got it. So yeah, that makes sense then. But thank you, Crosby, for that observation. So it's taken care of in the fourth recital. Okay. At this point, then, barring no objection, yeah, Haley.
I believe Michael Calderwood wanted to speak as well.
Oh, okay. I see.
Just brought him in.
Well, thank you. Yes, Mr. Calderwood, welcome back.
Apologies, I forgot to lower my hand. Thank you, Haley, for your observance.
Thank you, Haley. Okay, so at this point, I think let's do it this way. Here comes Director Farmer, so maybe we won't have to table. But we do need to give Alex more time, so I think maybe we should table anyway till Alex comes back. Mm-hmm. So, Director Farmer, can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. I need to let you know where we are. So the protest failed. I forgot the exact number. It was 500 something. 500?
525, something like that.
Okay. And then what we're doing now, there is a problem with the resolution. So Mr. Handlers is busy at the moment coming up with some corrections because we need to have it absolutely correct as we go forward. Otherwise, we'll have to redo the whole thing. So while we're waiting for Mr. Handlers, we'll table this item if there is no objection. So I'll do it that way. And then we'll go ahead and take the next item on the agenda. So if I'm asking unanimous consent to table this item until Mr. Handlers is ready. Seeing no objections, this is tabled until Mr. Handlers comes back with with those corrections. So the next item of business is, in fact, 8A, which is the discussion and consideration of the third quarter budget report for fiscal year 21-22 and adopt resolution amending the fiscal year budget. So, yes, Ms. Duffield, if you'd be so good as to perhaps present this.
Would you like to wait on this, since we may have a little bit of time to discuss this? Because I do have some discussion and I need a recommendation from the board.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It might be lengthy, and that way if Mr. Handlers comes back in, he doesn't have to wait on us to finish.
Good point. Thank you. How about, I see the shortest item on here is 8C. Now let's take that first again, if there's no objection. Okay, that would be, this is to discussion and consideration of voting for a special district representative. So I think we should be able to deal with that one fairly quickly. So Jim Weigel, perhaps you could present this.
Yes, President Howell. Agenda item 8C is discussion and consideration of voting for a special district representative for the San Luis Obispo Local Agency Formation Commission, which is LAFCO. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider voting for a special district representative to serve as the alternate seat on the San Luis Obispo LAFCO Commission. There are two candidate statements of interest for each of the two candidates, one being Ed Ebby and the other being Devin Capps. The board can will be able to cast a ballot for one of the two candidates or neither, if it so decides, And staff will respond through the board secretary and return the board vote to LAFCO via email by June 6th.
Thank you, Jim. For this, I think we'll go to public comment first, and then we'll come back to the board. So does anybody out in the public have anything to say about either of these two applicants for the seat on LAFCO or the alternate seat on LAFCO? Okay, I'm not seeing anything here. Haley, do we have anything written or in the Vets Hall?
We have no written public comments, and we have no one that wishes to speak at the Vets Hall.
Oh, thank you, Haley. All right, so we are at the... Director Farmer, please.
I just want to make a comment. One of the favorite columns that I would read in the funny papers, especially on Sunday, was Ripley's Believe It or Not. And to me, the one that I remember, I don't know how many people on the board or out there in the audience remember Ripley's Believe It or Not, but one of the things that stuck in my mind was the shortest name on a tombstone ever. And the fellow's name was Ed Eck, E-D-E-K. So I'm noticing here that Mr. Ebby is just like one letter off of that. I don't know if he's aware of that, but I just thought I'd throw that out to add a little humor, which to a meeting that seems to be having its a certain amount of confusion here. So just wanted to put a smile on somebody's face if just for a moment.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. I think that what we could do here is if anyone wishes to speak for or against any of the candidates, and then we could entertain a motion to vote for one or another of them. I'm not quite sure how else to do this. Yes, Director Seidel.
I believe that is certainly a possibility. The other possibility is I don't believe we have to make a recommendation.
That's right.
And if that is the case, not being familiar with either individual, I mean, it would be throw a name in a hat and pull it out. And I don't know, I would just assume not vote as to do that in such an arbitrary way.
Okay, that makes some sense. Yes, Director Farmer.
I'll second that.
Okay, well, let's go. Well, she didn't actually move it, but Director.
Well, I move. Okay. How's that? Is that better?
Great. Yeah. So it's been moved, and then Director Farmer, that you wish to second that motion. Is that correct? Excellent. It's been moved and seconded that the CCSD not express a preference for the LAFCO representative. So now we're open for discussion or debate. Okay, everybody seems to be okay. I'll just say one thing. If I was asked to choose, I would probably choose Mr. Eby just because of his prior experience. But on the other hand, that might be an argument for not choosing him. So I think maybe this is the wiser choice. It's better to do nothing than do the wrong thing. So that's my any other debate. Okay, Haley, I believe we're ready for the roll call.
Sure. Director Seidel?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Gray?
Aye.
Vice President Dean?
Aye.
President Howe?
Aye. The motion passes 5-0 to not express a preference for the LAFCO alternate special district member election. Okay, that took care of that. And we're still waiting for Mr. Handlers. I'm going to leave it up to... Oh, here he comes.
I just want to say, I haven't done... I can't find the original resolutions on the website. I just wanted to put it in the same format, so that's why I was just scrambling the background to find it. I tried calling the district, but couldn't get through. So that's my apologies for any delays on that. Oh, no. I have it ready to go. I just don't know what format it's supposed to look like. If someone can email me what the other one looks like, I'll just put it in the exact same format.
Okay.
Yes.
Weigold or Haley, yeah. Haley, it looks like you wanted to respond.
I have Melissa Bland sitting next to me, and she will email it to Alex.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And then Mr. Handler, so I think we can probably, at this point, I'm a little bit of a quandary, because both items coming up, both could occasion a fair amount of discussion. Do you want to try to do 8B and see if we can complete that one? Okay, let us do 8B. So 8B, just to remind everybody, this is discussion and consideration to continue using a consultant to facilitate the semi-annual strategic plan update. So GM Weigel, would you please present this?
Yes, President Howell. Agenda item 8B is discussion and consideration to continue using a consultant to facilitate the semi-annual strategic plan updates. Staff recommends that the board of directors discuss and consider the continued use of a consultant for the semi-annual updates to the strategic plan. As some background, we do have a 45-day cancellation notice ahead as part of our contract with the consultant. And back to you, President Howell.
Thank you, Jim Weigel. Let me go to the public for public comment, and then I'll come back to the board for some kind of a motion and a vote. So folks out in the public, this is your shot. This is having to do with whether or how we continue with our strategic plan updates. Yes, Mr. Calderwood, please.
This time I did put my hand up. A curious slash observation. In my experience, when we've done these sort of things in the corporate world, over the time that the facilitation was done, we had somebody within our organization who, quote unquote, learned how to do it, how to facilitate, or how to be a professional facilitator, or at least a competent facilitator. Wondering if we have an opportunity, rather than continuing with the consultant, is there somebody in house who might be able to facilitate that sort of a session for us, grow their skills, grow the capabilities of the district, and potentially save a few dollars in the meantime. Observation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Calderwood. Any additional public comment? And Haley, do we have any written public comment?
We have no written public comment, and we have no one that wishes to speak at the Vets Hall.
Excellent. Thank you, Haley. At this point, I'll entertain a motion related to this subject. Yes, Director Dean.
Okay. I would like to move that we form an ad hoc committee consisting of myself and Director Steidel with the following actions: to discuss with Marilyn Snyder how to better align our strategic goals to our mission statement, and to research the approaches of other special districts with similar breadth of services, and then come back to report to the board.
Okay, thank you. Haley, did you get it? Go ahead. Director Steidel first.
I was just going to second that.
Second. Okay. Haley, do you have that motion? It was kind of long.
Leah taking the motions for me while I do the motion roll call. So if you could just repeat it one more time for her.
Okay. Do you want me to repeat it, President Howell?
Yes, please, and slowly.
Slowly, please.
Okay. I move that we form an ad hoc committee consisting of myself and Director Steidel.
Hold on one sec. Okay.
For the following actions: to discuss with Marilyn Snyder how to better align our strategic goals to our mission statement.
Hold on one sec. To align our strategic goals with our mission statement. Thank you for your patience. Hold on.
No problem. We need to get it right, so this is good.
Okay.
And to research the approaches of other special districts with similar breadth of services. And come back to the board with a recommendation or report.
And come back to the board. Okay, so we have Vice President Dean moved to form an ad hoc committee consisting of Vice President Dean and Director Steidel for the following actions: to discuss with Marilyn Snyder as to how to align our strategic goals with our mission statement, and to research the approaches of other special districts with similar services, and to come back with the board with the report.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So it's been moved and seconded what Haley said. So, I'm not going to try to do that again. So, yes, we're open for debate now. So, yes, Director Gray.
Thank you, President Howell. I just wanted, had a question about the time frame for this, because it sounds like from what General Manager Weigel said, we're getting close to a point at which we'd have to decide whether to retain Marilyn Snyder. I think he said it was a 45-day cancellation. If we were going to have her for the next round, which I would be at the end of July, so how does that affect the time pressure, I guess I'd call it, that this ad hoc committee is going to be under?
Okay, let me go to either Director Vice President Dean or Director Steidel, which of you would like to? Oh, okay, Director Steidel.
I'm under the impression that we could at least touch base with Marilyn Snyder on a fairly quick turnaround to express. Director Dean and myself have had conversations about the approach in the strategic plan and how it needs to be tightened in terms of a focus towards what the mission for our district is, you know, what we are chartered to address and take care of. And I think we can certainly have that kind of conversation with Marilyn, and she would understand precisely what we were driving at, and to see if she has some recommendations about how to achieve what we describe. That being the case, and if she does, then those are things that actually could be folded into the action that we'd be taking in June in review of information. In the meantime, also, we could be pulling together information that would be in some review of special districts around us who have the same breadth of service to them, and be able to incorporate both of those things together. And I think be able to come back to the board with a report probably at the beginning of June, so that there'd be some awareness of where things would be headed by the second meeting in June. Is it appropriate to say that, Director Dean?
Yeah, I think so.
That sounds good.
And yeah, I mean, the intent is not to drag it out. It's to try to get some, we're at a point where we've accomplished a good part of what we had set out to do in our initial actions. And we have follow-on actions, which we haven't scheduled yet, but I think we're in a position also to be able to make some potential adjustments to what we'd be focusing on as we're going forward.
Excellent. Thank you. So anybody else here? Let's see. Okay. I'll add one comment. I think, what we're looking at, the thing that I'm looking for is the report back to the board as to what the conclusions are, and we should be having that in sufficient time to act upon it. My anticipation is that probably Ms. Snyder will be amenable to adjusting her process to help us move in the direction that we want to go. I think the big issue is being able to express exactly what it is that we want and give her some guidance on that. Anybody else? Any other questions?
No.
Director Gray, please.
One further question. It sounds like the ad hoc committee will not be, correct me if I'm wrong, will not be looking at the question of whether we need to have a consultant. Is that going to be off the table for the ad hoc committee?
Director Dean,
One or the other of you. Yeah, one of you, whoever speaks first, I think.
Right now, we haven't said that we're not going to use Marilyn Snyder. We want to do some investigation and talk to her to see if we can work things out to get our strategic plan, like we said, better aligned to our mission. We haven't said that we're not going to use Marilyn Snyder or that we are. I mean, we don't know yet. We just wanted to do some research to see where we are on this.
My question is the question of whether or not to use her or another consultant still still a live question, as it were.
In my perspective, it may be just okay. By virtue of the fact we need to have a conversation with her,
right?
To see if she understands what we're trying to relay and has suggestions on how to accomplish that and feels that she could contribute to making that happen for us. If that's not the case, then perhaps we'll be able to gather some information from taking a look at some of the other districts and if and whom they used as facilitators for what they did, if we see things in the structure of what they've been doing that seem to fit within what we're trying to accomplish. So I think it's up in the air to that extent, but I think the first full stop is we need to have a conversation with Ms. Snyder to verbalize some of these things and to see if she feels that she can support helping us improve the process.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you.
Let's see. Anybody else? Okay. It looks like we're probably ready for the question. So it's been moved and seconded that. Okay, can we hear the motion one more time just to make sure everybody knows what we're voting on?
Sure. Hold on. Vice President Dean moved to form an ad hoc committee consisting of Vice President Dean and Director Steidel for the following actions: to discuss with Marilyn Snyder as how to align our strategic goals with our mission statement, and to research the approaches of other special districts with similar services, and to come back to the board with a report.
Thank you. So we are ready for the roll call.
Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
President Howe?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, everybody. So I'm looking forward to that one. I think it has a good chance of coming up with something good. Yes, Director Farmer?
President Howe, I just want to thank Vice President Dean and Director Steidel with coming up with this approach as we move forward with the strategic plan. And it's an excellent idea, and I want to commend their efforts, their collective efforts on this.
Thank you, and I'll join you in that myself. So thank you both, Director Dean and Director Steidel, for that. GM Weigold, yes.
Yes, President Farmer, just wanted to let you know that we're ready to proceed on 7A when you're ready.
Okay, so 7A, we're back to that. So let's see, I think the thing to do would probably be to share the screen, would it not? Mm-hmm. And let me just remind people where we are. This is the resolution to adopt the rate increase that was after the failure of the 218 protest. So this is our Exhibit A, and I guess we need to display all of it so that we can see, so everyone can see what it is. Okay, we're looking for specifically the new language.
There it is. Yeah, there it is.
It just went back.
Third page? All the way down, yeah. There it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but Mr. Carmel, didn't it have to be in the resolution itself as well? No?
No.
Oh, okay, then we're good. Let's make sure.
Makes reference to Exhibit A.
Okay, as long as it makes reference to Exhibit A and Exhibit A is correct, then we're good. Okay, yeah. Everyone's got a chance to look at this particular section, which has an example in it. I want to be sure that this is absolutely clear to everyone. So this is just describing how the inflationary pass-through will be calculated. Okay, and so do we have any? I'd like a one shot at the public before we, since now that we have the full language. So let me look and see if we have anybody out there. Okay, public, this is one last shot at this before we vote. All right, seeing nobody. Okay, I think we are then ready. So,
excuse me,
Mr. Carmel. Yeah, go ahead.
There are two corrections that I'd like made.
Yes, please.
In the second sentence, it says these future rate adjustments would be implemented. I think the would should be will be implemented. And
will be subject.
And in the next sentence, the same change, the would be authorized. Wait, where am I? Would be, wait.
It would be authorized to adjust.
Okay, wait a minute.
Will be authorized to adjust. So the two woulds need to be willed.
There's actually three woulds.
There's a second.
That second sentence has a couple.
That's right. All three of those woulds should be the word will. So just note that for the record so we can make that change.
Okay. So this will be the as amended, as it were. Okay. So Mr. Handler, you've got that so that we can, I don't know who's got the actual copy.
I also think the word authorizes in the first sentence should be approves.
Okay. So to reiterate, we're going to amend this so that CSDA approved future annual inflationary.
Right.
And the second sentence, rate adjustments will be implemented and will be subject to a maximum annual increase. I'm looking for the third would.
Drop a sentence. For example, if the CPI increases.
Will be authorized. Got it. Okay. So the three spots.
Got it.
Okay. And then, of course, the previous amendment that we had to delete that loan F that was sitting there in the third recital as well. So those are the amendments. Are we all clear? Everybody's crystal clear on this. I hope.
There was a reference to attachment A as far as the recitals are concerned. Because this becomes a part of attachment A.
There it is at the very last. It's the
actual result, the resolution language at the end. Yeah.
Or the exhibit A. Sorry. So this statement without further identification, this statement is inclusive to exhibit A.
That's my understanding.
No,
that's right.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, it's important the lawyer agrees. Yes, we're good. Okay, make sure all our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed. So I think there's a last, Mr. Carmel, yes, go ahead.
I think procedurally, the motion that was on the table, I believe it was Director Gray seconded by Director Dean, should be revoked.
Okay.
And a new motion should be made. So essentially withdraw. You should make a motion to withdraw.
I moved to withdraw my earlier motion on this. So.
There needs to be a second for that.
I second that.
By Vice President Dean. Yeah, once the motion has been stated by the chair of the meeting, it becomes the property of the meeting and you have to go through a whole procedure to get rid of it. So it's been moved and seconded to withdraw the previous motion. Do we have any debate on that? Seeing none, let's go for a vote. So Haley, may we have the roll call on this?
Sure. Director Gray?
Aye.
Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Steidel?
Aye.
President Howe?
Aye. Okay, so the previous motion is withdrawn. Let's put the next motion onto the floor, and since we have time, and because Mr. Swartz has been so observant before, I see his hand up again. So, let's get a motion on the floor first, or maybe we better no. Let me hear Mr. Swartz first, in case we have to make another
comment first. Yeah, for a motion.
So. Okay. Crosby and Laura Swartz, would you please one of you come in here and help us out? Welcome.
Okay, thank you. This is Mrs. Swartz.
Okay.
It's real, guys, I appreciate all your energy, but it's really, really difficult to watch all of this. Stuff hasn't been proofread, and then after the protest, then you change the resolutions, and you change the capitals, and you take stuff, and then you withdraw it. I mean, I don't think this is done properly, in my opinion. The other thing is, I still want to state this for the record, I have a real problem with not having a cap on those inflationary rates. I know your board can look at it, but it's not going to be the same board. And we, the ratepayers, are going to have to pay this. And I think it would have been much more appropriate to put some type of cap on it so we know what we're living with. And again, all these changes back and forth, there's kind of like Brown Act stuff going on here. That's my opinion. Please put a cap on that.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Swartz. All right, back to the board here. We're waiting for a motion here, and I see two hands, Director Steidel and then Director Gray.
I will ask first whether Mr. Carmel would want to address the fact that in approaching inflationary rates, you can't put a cap on it in the way that it was suggested, and that's why we had not done so.
Okay. Mr. Carmel, would you briefly respond then?
You could put a cap on it, but you didn't, and the notice that went out didn't have one. So, I did also want to note that now the changes we've made mirror the 218 notice. There's nothing new there. There was just something missing. Now it mirrors it directly.
Oh, good.
And I don't see any problem moving forward with the resolution. It was like pulling teeth, but I think we got there.
All right. So. Yes. So you're saying then it's a straightforward motion, or we do need to account for the corrections to the resolution?
I think if you state in your motion as corrected.
Yeah, that would work.
That's all you need to do. But it's just a straightforward adopt the resolution with the corrections we just went through. We can go through them again if you want to, but I don't think we have to.
Okay, yeah, so the motion would just be to adopt the resolution, and then you read through the preamble, you know, the what is it, the long title, and then you could just put as amended or as
okay, then I offer a motion to adopt the public hearing result. Well, no, that isn't the right terminology.
Just resolution 32-2020.
Okay. A motion to adopt resolution 32-2022 with indicated adjustments.
Well, that work?
I think corrections might be better because it's not
corrections.
Anything substantively. It was just.
Right.
I think revisions is probably the appropriate word.
All right. So I move to adopt resolution 32-2022 with the revisions as noted.
Got it. Okay. Okay. I think we've got it.
Part there. Yeah.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution 32-22, adopting the water and sewer rates effective July 1st, 2022, and future annual inflationary rate adjustments as, what was the word, as adjusted?
Revised.
Yeah, as revised. Okay. Well, let's see. Is any further debate? All right.
We need a second.
Oh, whoops.
I seconded it.
Oh, okay.
Seconded by Director Gray. Thank you. Okay, so I've just restated it, so we're back in business here. So if there's no further debate, I think you are ready for the question. So Haley, go ahead and call the roll.
Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Vice President Dean?
Aye.
President Howe?
Aye. Motion passes 5-0, and I see a comment from Director Farmer. Hold on just a moment, Director Farmer. I think we are, that's it for the regular business. So,
wait. 8C.
Oh,
yeah.
I have a comment to make on this item.
8A. 8A, yeah.
You're right, we have 8A still to do. Sorry. Go ahead, Director Farmer. Go ahead. I think you have a comment.
I totally understand the concerns of the members of this community with regard to how the rate increase monies have been spent, and their concern their ambivalence, their, how could I say it, skepticism as to how monies will be spent in the future. And I believe that we as a district and as a board, as these monies with the rate increase come our way and we make every effort to utilize these monies in as constructive a fashion as possible to make the major improvements that need to be made, especially at the wastewater plant, that we with regularity let the ratepayers of this community know how the rate increase monies are being spent. I believe we have an obligation to the ratepayers that hasn't really been addressed in the past. We need to take a different approach to, how could I say it, express our appreciation to the ratepayers for keeping this district viable. And we owe it to them to be, I think, more on top of, as I said, stating how the monies are being spent to let them know so they're less skeptical of the district and the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Does anyone else wish to make a final comment on this before we move forward? Okay, so as I was just reminded, we do have one more item of regular business, which is 8A. I think we can probably deal with this in our time frame. Shall we try? Let us try and see what happens.
27 minutes.
Okay, very good. So 8A, which is the discussion and consideration of the third quarter budget report and adopt a resolution amending the fiscal year 2021-22 budget. So let's see, I think, yes, Administrative Department Manager, Ms. Duffield, I believe that you're the one to present this, so the floor is yours.
Sure. Thank you, President Howell. So as stated, Agenda Item 8A is for discussion and consideration of the third quarter budget report for 21-22 fiscal year and adoption of Resolution 33-2022 amending the fiscal year 2021-2022 budget. It's recommended that the Board of Directors discuss and consider the third quarter budget report for fiscal year 21-22, adopt Resolution 33-2022, amending the fiscal year 21-22 budget, and provide direction to staff as deemed appropriate. The Finance Committee reviewed this report in advance of your board on April 26 and recommended it to be forwarded to the board without any changes by a 5-0 vote. So just a reminder, the third quarter is for three quarters of the fiscal year, 75% of the fiscal year, starting on July 1st of 2021 through March 31st of 2022. During this particular quarter, your board approved one budget adjustment already, and that was for the skate park. That has been included in this reporting. So when we start going through the detail pages, you'll see that budget adjustment memorialized. There is one budget adjustment request in addition to that for this quarter, and that is to address the emergency water line repair project that had to occur that was not in the fiscal year's budget. And so that budget item or that budget adjustment is included in this report, which is why you have resolution that needs to be adopted as part of this report. The estimate of that repair, we've had most of the bills come in at this point, and we're estimating that project to be $366,000. So that would come from water fund reserves to offset that cost. So if we move forward to the detail pages, that would start on approximately page 157. And that is the recap of all of the general fund departments, budget to actual. The general fund departments are the fire department, facilities and resources, administration, and PROS. So if you just to give you the navigation again, your first column is your original budget that the board adopted in August.
The next column would include any budget adjustments that the board has approved thus far through the fiscal year. So that's why you're going to see a difference in the original budget and the current budget. The period activity is actually just the month of March, and the fiscal activity is year to date. So that would be July 1st, 2021 through March 31st, 2022. Encumbrances or any purchase orders or any contracts that we have reserved a budget for. And then again, you're gonna see your variance, favorable or unfavorable. And then remember, the very last column is not percentage used, it is percent remaining. So that's still something we're all trying to get used to seeing a difference in our reporting format. So if we move forward to the fire department, their detail pages begins on 160. Again, the fire department, you know, we're continuing to watch the overtime as they've had staffing challenges due to some injuries that they've had over the last 6 months or so. So we're continuing to monitor that. We're also in the next quarter's report, you will see the SAFER grant revenue come back. We submitted our first request for that reimbursement in early April, and we received that first payment back to offset the first quarter costs earlier this week on Monday. So we don't see any activity there at this point, but you will see that during the final budget report of the year. To offset all of the costs that have happened in overtime, you know, as a result of the staffing challenges, the fire chief has decided to put off replacement of a truck, which was projected at $50,000. So he's going to hold off on that until next fiscal year, because that budget, you know, may be needed to offset his salary costs by fiscal year end. Moving forward to facilities and resources, they begin on page 167. And then their summary is on page 170. So facilities and resources, I mean, we still see some variances that are yet to be spent. But again, that's just the timing of things that occur in facilities and resources. You know, their big cleanup that happens on the ranch once a year, you know, and all of those effort usually happens, you know, in the springtime. So we usually don't see all that activity happening up front by the third quarter. We'll see that in the fourth quarter. Moving forward to PROS. PROS budget begins on page 173. This is where you're going to see the budget adjustment that the board approved for the skate park. You'll see that down to the latter part of the page, the $59,333. That was our budget adjustment that happened during the month of March. So you'll see that in there in the date that it happened. So most of this budget will be carried forward into next fiscal year because, you know, the East restroom project is still in process. The skate park is still in progress. So we'll see those funds carry forward. And I also have earmarked to carry forward the professional services that wasn't used for this fiscal year as a result of the last board of directors meeting. Your board seemed to be concerned with where if that money goes away. So we'll make sure that we earmark that and roll that into next year.
Good.
Administration. So our biggest hurdle in administration is dealing with the legal costs that ensued as a result of the litigation and the trial. So I did pull some numbers for that because I want to have a discussion with the board in regards to how that should be handled. So I will come back to that topic after we go through all the detail pages. But currently you'll see that there's a significant budget overage on page 178. It is line item 6080L, which is our professional services legal. We're exceeding budget by 435,000 and change, or 606%. So, you know, that's significant, and we do need to talk about how we're going, how the board wishes to address that topic. So I will come back to that. Then moving forward to water and wastewater. And again, we summarized all the funds for the enterprise funds, which is water, wastewater, WRF operations, WRF capital, and that summary is on page 183. And then we further break down, starting on page 185, just the water fund components, which is water, WRF operations, and WRF capital. And then on page 187, we just isolate wastewater on its own. So for the water fund, included in this report, like I said earlier, is a budget adjustment request to account for the costs related to that emergency water line repair that occurred unexpectedly at the end of December. So once that budget adjustment is memorialized, your budget to actual will look a little better in water. In the WRF fund operations, it begins on page 198. So keep in mind, what you don't see on this report for WRF is the reserves that are set aside. Remember, in Tyler, we have these reports are budget or revenue versus expenditure. So when we set aside a reserve, you're not going to see that in our reporting that we're currently looking at. What I'm thinking I'm going to do in the next year's budget is I'm going to just pick a GL account at the very end of the 6,000 series and just earmark that as a reserve. So that way you can see budget to actual, because it gives a false sense of what is really available for spending when you don't see that on these reports. So I think I want to make that change a little bit so it becomes more visible and you don't think that there's hundreds of thousands of dollars that are not being spent. they earmarked for reserves for when the WRF does have to be operated. And it's important, I think, that we show those. So that'll be something moving forward. So WRF capital, that begins on page 202. If you recall, in early April, we went to the board to request some additional funding for the Section 7 ESA consultant. And as part of that budget adjustment, we also addressed this overage of $26,000 that we exceeded budget in. So that has been addressed. It's just not reflective of this report because it happened in April and this is through the end of March. So we have addressed that. Moving forward to wastewater, that begins on page 206. Again, we're not seeing any huge variances in wastewater. We're continuing to manage the expenditures to offset all of the manhole replacement project that happened. You know, that was our trade-off as we were moving forward with all those replacements, and we would reduce cost in other places. So all of that is still kind of in process. So we hope by the end of June, all of it is worked out and we have a good idea of where we ended for the fiscal year. We hope the contract will be done. So also included for you, starting on page 213, and there's a few pages, are the CIP pages, the column that says fiscal year or FY project costs, that is actually what has occurred from costs from July 1st of 2021 through March 31st of 2022. And then I also mentioned in the staff report itself what projects thus far had been completed through the end of March. We had like three projects that were completed. Mm-hmm. So all the costs haven't been paid yet for the water line at the end of March, so those costs are not fully recognized yet. So those will be reported out in the next reporting period. So going back to our discussion regarding litigation and legal services, so customarily what happens is the board approves the budget, and as part of the budget, they approve administrative overhead allocation. And that's the single spreadsheet, and there's different categories that determine how those costs get shared against all the departments and the funds. So for legal costs, it gets shared proportionally based on the fund size. So currently, as of today, I ran a report just this morning so I could capture all the costs thus far for this fiscal year. For the litigation expenses, we have $545,340.57. And that number is what is creating our budget overage. You know, we'd be under budget in legal services had it not been for this event that occurred. So I really need direction from the board on how you would like that handled. You know, that's a big impact to allocate that to all the departments when that really wasn't in the plan for the budget for the year. But, you know, again, that's up to the board to decide if you want to, you know, allocate it based on our adopted schedule. Another option would be if it came from the general fund reserves, which we have around $3.7 million in there off the top of my head. Or it could be a combination of part of it gets allocated and part of it comes out of the reserves, or some other thought that the board may have. So, you know, I would need to bring this back to your board in the form of a budget adjustment, but I would just like a little bit of guidance from you on your desire to address the situation.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Duffield. So may I ask just a brief, I think you said it, but I think maybe my mind was floating off somewhere, that the major part of that legal expense involves which of the many lawsuits that we're having to deal with?
So it was the Wendler litigation that resulted in actual trial costs and expert attorneys that were required to be hired.
I see. Okay. I was trying to figure some excuse to allocate it to something or another, but it's anyway. Yeah. Well, board, what do you think? What do you guys think? Director Gray, go ahead.
Do we need to take public comment first? I do have something to say, but I mean, I wonder if we should.
It might be useful to hear what the public has to say, although it might be first to know a little bit.
Okay. Yeah,
let's hear what they have. I think you're right. I'll go with your suggestion. Members of the public, the issue here is what we do with these nearly $500,000 worth of legal fees. How do we allocate it amongst our various enterprises? Or how do we, just how do we deal with it? Do any of you have any ideas on the matter? I'll give you just a minute here to gather your thoughts together. Okay, no one's jumping in. So I think Director Gray, it's back to you.
Yeah. First of all, we're about 9 minutes from the deadline. So maybe we should extend for 15.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
I think we may finish earlier, but that way we won't feel rushed. So is there a second on that? Okay, moved and seconded to go to 4:15. Is that right? Did I get that right?
4:15 would be right. Yeah.
Moved and seconded to 4:15. Without anybody, I'm asking unanimous consent on that. No objections. So we'll go on to 415. So back to the issue then as to how on earth are we going to allocate this expense? Director Gray, I think you have a thought on the matter.
Thank you, President Howell. Yeah, my thought, since we have the options before us, and we have a pretty healthy general fund reserve, is to take at least the, I would call the extraordinary legal expenses, litigation related legal expenses, which I assume at $545,000 is that litigation only, or is that included? Okay, take that out of general fund reserves, and my argument would be, I think the reserve level in the general fund is certainly adequate for it, and I think it, you know, again, it's the allocation of administrative expenses to the enterprise funds is based on a formula, and as I understand it, you're not required to allocate, except of course you want to have as much money as possible coming from the enterprise funds to meet those costs. In this case, I think going to the enterprise funds right after we raise rates, which is perhaps not the best timing for a case which is really about, not really about the operation of the water and sewer system. It's about our policy on permits. It's about an administrative issue, and it seems to be arguably certainly administrative in nature, and the reserves in the water and wastewater funds are not nearly up to the level that the reserves in the general fund are. So my argument would be use the general fund reserves. I can hear what everybody else says.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point there. Director Steidel.
I agree entirely with Director Gray. I think this is an extraordinary expense. It isn't that the enterprise fund should not bear the impact of this. It's administrative in nature. It's by virtue of the fact that we were, we had to participate in the way that Windelier assumed or put their suit in for judgment, and we had to participate in the way that we did for protection, and I think it's an extraordinary expense that can be borne by the general fund.
Okay. Thank you, Director Seidel. Vice President Dean?
I totally agree with both Director Gray and Director Seidel. I think it needs to come from the general fund reserves. We have enough money in there. And like Director Gray said, we just raised the rates because we didn't have enough money in those funds. We shouldn't be taking it out of there.
Yeah. Those are all good arguments. Anybody else? I'm trying to think of an argument on the other side, but I'm having to, can anyone offer an argument in the other direction? I don't see, I'm even open to staff saying something on this. It seems pretty, it's related to policy. It's related to it doesn't have anything to do with the operations, does it?
Really.
I guess I'm falling the same way, although I know that, The only problem or the only thing that's causing me any pause at all is the fact that we do have our general fund have a lot of demands on it beyond what we are actually able to in terms of maintaining our extensive number of properties, all that kind of thing, which we can't use enterprise money for. But on the other hand, I can't see a good argument for not doing what you all are suggesting. So I think I would be in favor of that. I saw two hands up. Let me go with Vice President Dean first and then Director Steidel.
Well, looking at what you just said, that the enterprise funds has a lot that needs to be done with it that we're not addressing. So do the enterprise funds, which is why we just had a rate increase.
Good point, yeah.
And there's far more money in the reserves in the general fund to be able to address this. So yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah, I'm just looking for it seems reasonable to me, but I just wanted to be sure that we've got it covered. Yeah, Director Steidel. You're muted.
Director Dean took the words out of my mouth. So I guess in that case, I'd like to be able to provide direction to Ms. Duffield to address the impact and effect of this in a budgetary manner by application of reserves from the general fund.
Okay, all right, let's take that. I'm assuming that's a motion. So we need to get really okay.
I'll second, I'll second her.
By Director Gray and also by Vice President Dean. So it's been moved and seconded. I'm going to shorten your motion a little bit just to make it easier for me to pay for these expenses out of the general fund reserves as requested. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So I will need to return to the board in June with a formal budget adjustment. Because that, in order to reallocate from reserves, that requires an actual formal budget adjustment. I just wanted your direction on how to proceed with resolving this, since we're so close to the end of the fiscal year, and we have a fairly good idea of, you know, I mean, we still have a couple of months bills to come through, but we at least have a fairly good idea of where we're at. So,
okay,
you'll be having to hear about this again.
Oh, no problem. But I do think we need to get a vote on it just so you have very clear direction here. Go ahead, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell. This isn't necessarily pertinent to the exact item we're discussing at this time, but in reflecting on this particular cost that we have here, especially to the Windler case, and I'm just thinking back over time, since being on the board and even before then. And I'd be hard pressed to remember a time when we weren't involved in some kind of legal skirmish. Either we're suing somebody like CDM Smith or someone is suing us. And I'd be curious to know if other special districts are having the same type of problem we're having with regard to ongoing legal costs of one fashion or another. Maybe it's just the price we pay for, as people say, living in paradise, so to speak. I just wanted to point that out. Thank you.
Well, I think you do ask an interesting question, and it is, I think it's not really germane to what we're about to vote on, but in 1 minute or less, Mr. Carmel, could you provide an answer to Director Farmer on that, just from your own experience?
Cambria has a very unique community, and for a lot of reasons, it's involved in much more litigation than most governmental entities that I've represented. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Okay, so it may well be, as Director Farmer says, that's the price of living in paradise. Then it's just something we have to just deal with.
I meant that tongue in cheek.
Well, it may be
tongue in cheek.
Anyway, let's move forward here. So I think we're ready, unless we have further debate on this. We actually already called for public comment, but do you have anybody in the Betts Hall, Haley, or any written public comment on this issue?
Yeah, I have no written public comment, and I have no one attending the Betts Hall that wishes to speak on this item.
So I think we are ready. I don't think we need further debate on this. Everybody has had their say, I believe. Yes. Okay, so I think we're ready to vote. So Haley, if you'd be so good as to call the roll. The motion is to direct staff to allocate the funds for the Windler lawsuit to pay those out of the general fund reserves. Sorry for the awkwardness in the wording there, but okay. So go ahead.
Would you like me to call the roll?
Sorry, yes, please.
Director Seidel?
Aye.
Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Vice President Dean?
Aye.
President Howell?
Aye. The motion passes 5-0. So, Ms. Duffield, that should provide you, I hope, with clear guidance on that. Thank you for that. Do we have any other issues regarding the budget at this point?
So we also need the board to vote on the resolution. Because that is a formal budget adjustment that's being requested. That's resolution 33-2022.
looking for the text of it here.
Yeah.
Does anybody see it?
I could.
Page 216.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Ah, it's the very end. Gotcha. Okay, here we are. So we need a motion then, Director Farmer.
No, I'm not making a motion. I want to make a comment before the motion is made.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
I just want to ask a question with regard to WRF operations on page 200. You know, we're talking about monies either being available or not being available. Like, we can't spend the reserves from the WRF, but there's a surplus here, from what I can see, of almost $300,000. That's under a current, you know, under current budget total, the second column. So I'm just wondering, since I believe the WRF is part of the Water Department, can we in any way, shape, or form use some of those monies to spend on some of these water emergencies that we've had lately, such as the broken pipeline replacement? Is that a possibility?
But certainly a worthy question. I'm seeing a lot of shaking of heads. What would be the official financial word on that?
You want me to answer that?
Please, sorry.
So if the board were to make that decision, we would need to do an inter-fund loan between WRF and the water fund, water operations. Mm-hmm. So we have separate rate structures to bring the revenues in for the different purposes and the different funds. So they are all sub-funds of one another, but we still would need to document the ins and outs if we were loaning from one to the other, because it just messes with the rate structure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the rate structure is for certain purposes of operations and capital. And if we start getting money from other sources, it kind of defeats that purpose of the rate structure. So that's what I was indicating earlier when I said in the new budget, we need to make this more apparent on the reserves that are set aside that have not been used in prior years, because this paints a picture like we have a lot of unused money. And if we look at the $533,000 that we've set aside over the last three fiscal years by not operating the WRF, you know, we need to earmark that so it's apparent in the budget.
Got it. Thank you, Ms. Duffield. Thank you for the question, Director Farmer. But I think the clarity here is that the funds, even though they're called water funds, they are independent entities and need to have their, so we have to be very careful if we were to commingle funds between those. Not to say that we couldn't do it, but it would take a formal action for us to go forward with that. Director Steindl.
Just for clarification, Ms. Duffield, correct me, but or validate for me that a portion, in fact a good portion, of those reserve funds are the funds set aside for brine, for dealing with the brine?
Correct. So if you think back to our 2018 rates, a part of the rate structure was for extra electricity cost, the brine hauling, you know, I think chemicals and lab costs. And so that's how those reserves were earmarked year by year. I think in the very first year when we reserved for 1920, it was like 173,000. And then going forward, I think we've set aside 180,000 in 2021, and again another 180 in 21-22, which is where we get the $533,000 from.
And that was actually a demand of the community that there'd be money be set aside for brine removal. And we've been building that reserve related to that. And that's why those reserves are sitting there. But I think that Ms. Duffield's suggestion about getting visibility for commitment of reserves would help remove some of the perceptions misperceptions that people may have by looking at the numbers.
Yeah. Correct. In the old worksheets, they were based out of Excel, so we could display that to the public and make it more transparent. But as we've migrated to Tyler, you know, we're pulling the reports right out of their system, and it only demonstrates revenues versus expenditures. It doesn't demonstrate anything that we may or may not have in reserves.
Yeah, thank you. Director Farmer.
I'm sorry to just keep poking back at this, and since we might have to extend the meeting another 15 minutes. It's one thing to talk about reserves, but when I'm looking at this almost $300,000, it's about a surplus in revenue, if I'm not mistaken. That doesn't seem to be the same thing as reserves. That's my take on the situation.
Okay.
So any revenue that's not utilized by an offsetting expenditure at the end of the fiscal year goes into reserves. And in the future, it can be reprogrammed or it's just utilized. So what I'm saying is, if you're just looking at the current year revenue to expense, what you're not seeing is the $180,000 for this fiscal year for reserve for WRF operations, nor do you see what came forward from the last two fiscal years. And the board specifically requested that to occur. You know, it was a request that they had of staff to make sure that reserve gets put aside every year in the event that we have to operate the WRF.
Right. Thank you, Ms. Duffield. Director Gray?
I'd like to make a motion on this, if everybody's okay with that. I move that that the board adopt resolution number 332022, amending the fiscal year 2021-22 budget.
Right. Director Seidel, is that a second?
That's a second, please.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt resolution 33-2022, amending the fiscal year 2021/2022 budget. Debate. Okay, I see no debate. I think I'll just very briefly say, I think it was a useful discussion nevertheless to get clarity or try to achieve some clarity as to how these funds relate to each other, and to satisfy people who are concerned that we might be actually pirating money from the WRF to support other options. And we have to remember that the original rate increases back sometime before, one of the points was to accumulate enough money in reserves to support the running of the WRF should that be needed. So right now, we're in a very secure position in that regard. So I think we're ready for a vote on this. Yes, so please call the roll. Haley?
Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Seidel?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Vice President Dean?
Aye.
President Howe?
Aye. Motion passes 5-0. So we're good there. And that completes our regular business. Yes, Director Farmer?
I just want to say that perhaps if we need to operate the plant, that we could use the monies that we got from the lawsuit with CDM Smith. Just an observation.
Good point. Or we may be, who knows? Well, let's not worry about that right now until we need it. I think we need, we're ready for future agenda items, I believe. So has anything they want to suggest or remind me of something that maybe I might have forgotten to put on the schedule? We're all pretty good there. Okay, I think then we are ready for adjournment. I just want to be sure everybody had their say. Okay, well, thank you all for a good meeting. And it's unusual for us to finish this early. So,
well, one extension, yeah.
Yeah, I know. We shouldn't make a habit of it. I don't know. Okay, but now I'm left with suddenly I'm going to have to kill an hour or so. Okay, so thank you very much, everybody. And I think the next time we meet, our next regular meeting, which will be second week in Where are we now? This is, second week.
June 9th.
And I think Director Dean will be absent at that time. Is that true, Director?
I'll be back.
Okay, with a report.
Yeah.
From your trip. Okay, very good. All right. Anybody else have any parting shots before we close up?
Yeah, everybody have a blessed weekend.
That's a good parting shot. Okay.
It's not a parting shot. No, it's just a thoughtful comment.
Let's call it a benediction. So thank you, everybody. So nice to see you all today. And it's been a good meeting. I hope that and congratulations on the new rate structure that we have in place now. So
by the way, President Hal, I just want to make a quick observation. I'm sorry to be saying this, but since you used the word, you said earlier, kill an hour and parting shot. I think in this day and age that we're living in right now, you might think a little bit more thoughtfully about using those terms, even if you didn't need them in the way things are happening right now. Did you get my drift?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's my natural tendency to overstatement on the one hand. But no, I think you're right. We should perhaps be a little more careful in our use of words like that. Yeah. So anyway, we're good. I think everybody?
Good.
Thank you all, and thanks to staff for the extra work today. You know, it's excellent. We look forward to later. Bye-bye.